Well, welcome back to our study of Deuteronomy. We are at the end of chapter 5, and if you'll remember, Moses is he's given an account to the Israelites of their past, their history, and the Israelites, he reminded them how they'd heard the voice of God speak from the mountain. They didn't like that. They were afraid of the fire and afraid of the voice, whatnot. They didn't want to hear the Lord speak themselves, and so they told Moses, "You go talk to God, and then we'll listen." And the Lord had told Moses that the Lord heard the words that were spoken to Moses, and he said that the Israelites had spoken correctly and told them to go back to their tents. And so now we're picking up in verse 31. "But as for thee," being Moses, "stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which I give them to possess."
So at the time God told the Israelites, or Moses to tell the Israelites to return to the tents, he told Moses, he said, "You stay here with me." And we were talking about this earlier, and you have to really think about this. The people said, "We don't want to hear God. You go listen to God." And so God said, "All right. They don't want to hear me. Tell them to go to their tents." And the others said, "That's like sort of saying, go to your room."
Go to your room right now.
But there's a reason that God told them to return to their tents, because they didn't want to hear God. But God told Moses, "You come up here. You come up with me." And he said, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to teach all the commandments, the statutes, the judgments that I give to you." In other words, we know that God gave Moses not only the Ten Commandments, but all the laws that governed the nation of Israel. And then Moses had the responsibility of teaching all these things to the Israelites. And then they were to observe them in the land that the Lord was giving to them as a possession. You have to be taught the ways of God, the will of God. And sadly, too many people today don't know the ways and will of God because they haven't been taught the ways and will of God. And so there's a responsibility always on the leadership to teach people not what they want, but to teach them what God wants them to know, to observe His Word, to be led by the Spirit of God. And really, that's what we're talking about here. If you do what God says, then you're allowing God to lead you. With what we're told to do is to allow God to lead us, and He leads by Spirit.
Now, getting back to the hearing God speak, whether you want to or not, the invitation is extended for us to hear Him. Even today, we can hear Him through personal relationship, through the fellowship, our personal time we spend with Him. We can choose to hear Him in the Word of God, or we can choose to go to our own tent, so to speak, and not pay attention.
Too many people want the relationship, but they don't want the fellowship.
Yeah.
Let me be related to you, but I just don't want to talk to you. I don't want, unless I get in trouble. You don't call on me, and I won't call on you until I need you. Well, there's no intimacy in that. And we have to learn to be passionate for the Lord, to where, He's a priority in our life, to where we actually want to be around Him. And it's amazing to me how many professing Christians don't want to be around the Lord. don't want to talk about the Word of God. Let's talk about something else. Well, there's a problem. There's a heart issue there. If you don't want to be around the Lord, you don't want to be in the presence of the Lord, you don't want to talk about the things of the Lord, then there's something going on in your heart that needs to be fixed. Okay?
Verse 32, "You shall observe to do them, therefore, as the Lord your God hath commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess."
Now, understand that this is at the end of Moses' life. This is another generation. This generation is going into the land. And so Moses it appears that the book of Deuteronomy just keeps repeating itself. But Moses is trying to drive home how important it is to follow the Word of God. Listen to His commandments. Listen to His statute. Observe them. Follow God. Do things God's way. Here's what will happen. If you'll obey God, it affects your longevity of life. It's going to affect your welfare. And if you'll do what God is telling you to do, you'll live long in this land in which you're going to possess. But there is another side to that. If you don't, then you'll be driven out of that land. A lot to think about.
It is a lot to think about. You know, my Bible, I've got those three promises here, that if you'll walk in the ways of the Lord, and I'm reading this from a personal perspective here. Heather, if I walk in the ways that the Lord commands me, the laws that He writes on my heart, if I adhere to His Word, then I'm going to live. I have eternal life with Him by when I first received the Word of God and accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. That message of who Jesus is came by the Word, didn't it? "That it may be well with me. Circumstances here on earth might look unfavorable at times, but it is well with me. It is well with my spirit, man, every day of my life. Forever, eternity, it is well with me. That I may prolong my days." You know, the minute I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I prolonged my days with Him for eternity. Mm-hmm. Amen? So you see how this Word, I understand that Moses is talking to the Israelites and he's reminding them, but it's a relevant word for us today. There are consequences for us when we abandon the Word of God. We don't live according to the letter of the law. I understand that. But I can guarantee you, I have suffered consequences when I have chosen not to obey the Spirit or a prompting that's been given to me. There have been consequences detrimental to me and other people when I don't obey.
You know, Moses is a living example of that very thing. We're talking about 120 years. All the rest of these guys have died. But Moses has obeyed the commands of the Lord. Moses has walked in the ways of the Lord. And so Moses has outlived all of them. So that should be a prime example. This works. Follow the ways of God and live long.
Now, as we go into chapter 6, this is an exhortation for the Israelites to follow the Lord God and to refrain from following the gods of the people around them. They were also to teach their children the laws and commandments of the Lord. Verse 1. "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in whither you go to in the land whither you go to possess it. that you mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey.
See, here again, he's saying the same thing. He keeps reiterating, he keeps pounding into them how important it is to follow the commandments of God, to follow God's constitution, God's rules, God's regulations, because they've seen what happened to the earlier generation that didn't. And so Moses is just saying, don't repeat the pattern. Obey God, and it affects your longevity of life. Pay attention to the laws. Don't ignore them, and you'll increase in number. And so they were going in to inherit what their forefathers rejected. Mm-hmm. First generation rejected. They're getting to go in. But just because you go in doesn't mean everything's automatic. A lot of people think, well, I got saved, that's it. No, that's the beginning. There's much more to it than just professing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now we have to live that life. You understand? You can't say, I accept Jesus without your lifestyle changing and it be absolute fact. You with me? A lot of people profess they're Christian, but their lives do not agree with their words. You have to obey God. You have to do things God's way. I shouldn't have to tell you that I love God. You should know that by my actions. I shouldn't have to tell you that I serve God. You should know that by my actions. You follow me? Those years I worked in secular work before I went in ministry, I didn't tell people that I was saved, that I was a Christian, and all this type stuff. I mean, you just lived your life, and they're going to see that there's something different. You're not acting like they're acting. You're talking like they're talking. You're not participating in the things they participate in. Your very life's your testimony. You follow me? Not to say that you don't take opportunity when the door's open. But, you know, I never saw any need to short caller somebody and say, you need to get saved. If you'll live your life for God around them, their own hearts will be convicted and they'll know they need the Lord. You with me? I've had people to tell me, I know that if without me, you know, attacking them or anything, just their hearts condemning them. Well, I know I need the Lord. I said, well, if you know it, then you ought to do something about it. Right? There's more to it than just knowing I should accept Jesus. Accept Him and live for Him.
Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart.
I like the way he presents this. All of Israel, the nation, listen to me, entire nation, listen to me. The Lord your God is one Lord. There is no other. So you don't need to be looking at what other nations are doing. You don't need to look at who they're serving, what they're worshiping. There is one Lord, there is one God, and you're to love this God with all your heart and with all your strength. And let me go back. All your heart. All your heart. Have you ever heard of anybody doing something half-heartedly? Or you've heard, you may have even said it, their heart wasn't in it. They went through the motions, but their heart wasn't in it. This is what he's saying. Don't go just through the motions without your heart in it. Don't you serve God haphazardly, but you serve God with all your heart and your strength. You understand? This is the inward man and the outward man. You don't just serve God with your spirit, then you let your body get involved also to where your body's serving God as well. And then keep these instructions. This is where your body gets involved. You obey. You know what's right in your heart. Now do it. That's simple enough.
Yeah. But sadly, we try to get our body involved without our heart being
exactly.
a part of it. Work.
That's what religion will do. Religion will get your body involved and not deal with the root of the problem. If you want the problem to go away, then go to the root of it. Dig it up. Don't just treat symptoms, but go to the root. And the root will always be in the heart.
This interests me because as I was reading through Deuteronomy, I kept reading that phrase, love the Lord. And it jumped out to me one day, and I thought, I need to look into this. You know that phrase, love the Lord, if I'm not mistaken, is in Deuteronomy 9 times. 9 times in this one book, Moses exhorting the people, love the Lord, love the Lord, love the Lord, love the Lord. Well, that's a matter of the heart. Kinsey says I say that phrase all the time. Well, it's a matter of the heart. How do you get your heart right?
You think about what Jesus said. If you love me, keep my commandments. And so what's Moses saying? Love the Lord your God. How will I know that you love the Lord? You keep His word.
Mm-hmm.
You do what He says. You follow me? It's really pretty basic. But isn't it interesting that you have to constantly exhort people who say they love God, to say they serve God, to love God, to follow God's word, to follow God's ways? It's like a constant reminder. Do it God's way. Do it God's way. You love the Lord? Then show the Lord that you love Him by serving the Lord with all your heart.
You think about this just with your natural relationships to understand this concept. If you love your spouse and you say, I love you, I love you, I love you, and there's never any corresponding action or follow-up with it, those words become empty words, don't they? You know, you can tell somebody, look at your enemy, I love you. And you know in your heart you don't love that person. You know it. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know.
You truly love someone, you're not going to work against them.
No, yeah, that's right.
You understand?
Work with them.
You'll do what's in their best interest.
Yes.
Well, that's no different with God. If we truly love God, we're not going to work against God, and we want to do what's in the best interest of God. But how many people are looking at just selfish things, what I want, not what's in the best interest of God, because if you do what's in the best interest of God, it'll be what's in the best interest of you. But flesh tries to get in the way of all that and says, this is what I want, and ignores what God wants.
Now, go back to how the Lord described Himself to Moses. You remember we read that. The Lord your God, He's merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. And so why would I not want to adhere and obey the one that loves me more than anybody else? The one who is more merciful than anybody on this earth. Verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently. And what are we talking about here? Are we talking about the Word of God, right? Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy head, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates.
Now, think about this. The laws, the statutes, were to be diligently taught to their descendants. That's your children, your grandchildren. Teach them the Word of God. Talk about them when you sit around your house. When you walk down the road, talk about the Word of God. When you lie down, talk about the Word of God. When you get up, talk about the Word of God. Tie it around your hand and put a band around your forehead as a reminder of God's Word. And they were also instructed to write them on the doorpost of your house. In other words, write them when you start in your house, you see the things of God, the Word of God. Now, what's he saying? Always be mindful and make your descendants mindful of God's laws and God's statutes. So when should you talk about the Word of God? All the time. Well, you know, I don't want to drive my children away. Well, you're driving them to the devil. Why don't you tell them the will and ways of God? I'm not talking about force feeding. I'm talking about training. There's a world of difference. You don't browbeat someone by saying, if you don't do this, God's going to get you. Or God doesn't love you if you do that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a demonstration of how much you love God because you talk about God and you have God portrayed before your children, before your descendants, as a God who loves you, a God who cares for you, a God who is worth worshiping, worth serving. You talk it and you live it, but you keep it before you at all times. And I'm telling you, that's a fallacy with Christians today. They won't keep the Word before them. I saw a poll a few months ago, and I was absolutely amazed at how few professing Christians read their Bible. Then how are you living? How do you know how to live? If you don't know the Word of God, how in the world can you know the will of God? Because His will is embedded in His Word. We've got to keep the Word before us. I mean, this is a principle. I know He said this to the Israelites, but that hasn't changed. No, we're not talking about laws and rules and regulations and legislation. We're talking about loving God and talking about God and following the Bible, the Word and principles of God.
Yeah, I think about if you've ever been around a young woman who has just fallen in love. All she wants to do is talk about this young man that she's fallen in love. This man just hung the moon, does everything right, is just the best at everything, knows everything, is absolutely perfect. Talks about him all the time. Y'all are giggling because you know I'm right. I think about my relationship with Jesus Christ. do I do that? But I am intentional these days. The older I get, the more intentional I am about the people that I hang around with or choose to hang around with. Because I want conversation about the Word of God. I want to talk about the one that I love and who loves me, the lover of my soul. And how refreshing it is to spend time talking about the Word of God. I know Kenzie is my sister, and we spend a lot of time together, but the majority of our conversation is about the Word of God. It is about Jesus. It's about what we're reading, about what we're studying, about the revelation that we receive. And how refreshing that is. So we need to be talking about the Word of God. If we proclaim that Jesus is the one we love more than anybody, why would we not want to talk about our husband? About the one who rescued us. You know, we've got this image of the knight in shining armor riding on a white horse and comes saving the damsel. Well, I don't know any other knight in shining armor better than Jesus Christ himself. You talk about dying for the girl and the boy. That's exactly what he did. But he did one better. He came back. So,
you know, there was a song years ago that says, to know him is to love him. Well, that's the thing about the Lord. The more you know him, truly know him, the more you love him. You get into an intimate relationship that you find out who he really is. And what I learned through intimacy with the Lord is he wasn't anything like religion portrayed him. That he was a God to love. You understand? Now, when we're talking about the Word of God, we're not talking about arguing the Word. We're talking about you share one revelation being shared to another, and then they reciprocate. This is what we see, and I've been reading this, and I just wanted to share this. What do you think of this? And we're not talking about arguing Scripture.
No.
You understand? We're talking about a discussion of the Word that will enable us to come to know the Lord more and more. I love to talk about the Word, but I wouldn't argue with you for 10 seconds. You want to believe a lie? Believe a lie. Well, let's believe the truth. You understand? And how can I know the truth if I don't dig deep? Got to give him time and rely on the Holy Spirit to reveal. Just today, I mean, I was working on something, and I just said, Lord, there's no way that I will ever know this if you don't reveal it to me. I can look at this, and the people, the scholars and all, they don't agree. And if you don't show me, I'll never know the truth. You understand? You come to that place. And I'd like to tell you I got an immediate answer, but I didn't. But I'm still studying. You understand? You never stop studying. You never arrive. You just think you know some things. There's more that you don't know than there is that you do know. When you realize how big God is and how wise God is. And there's a lot of things I don't understand. But just today, I was just telling, I'm just blatantly honest with the Lord. I said, I don't understand this, and I don't understand that, and I don't understand this. But this I do know. That you are wiser than I am. That your ways are higher than mine. And that you don't think like I think. So I'm going to submit to what you're saying, even though I don't understand it. Because I believe you know more than I do. And I believe he'll reveal to me what I need to know and put into practice. You understand? But he's not going to tell you everything. I've been studying Daniel, and he told Daniel, Daniel says, I hear what you're saying, but I don't know what it means. He said, seal it up. My paraphrase, it's not for you to know. You just write it down. It's a secret. It's not to be revealed yet. You go on, live out your days and die and get your reward. But he wouldn't give him the revelation of what it was, the meaning. You understand? He didn't need to know it. And so often we think we need to know everything. For what? Bragging rights? No, there's a lot of things we don't need to know. What we need to know is what we can apply. That's what we need to know. And God will oblige us in that. If we'll be diligent. He rewards those who diligently seek Him. Okay?
We talked this afternoon. We do have tremendous conversations around the Word in the office, and it brings me great joy. But one of the things we talked about today was how this instruction to write the Word, and it should be shall be as frontlet between thy eyes. And so you remember reading about the phylacteries that the religious leaders of the day, they would wear. And how Pete brought to my attention those would become almost showy. You know, who has the biggest and the best? You know, how many words can we fit on this thing? And, you know, we can be like that today. Who has the most scripture hanging in their house? What about the throw pillows? You got enough scripture on your throw pillows? Where's your coffee mug? Let me see your travel mug. Don't forget the T-shirt. And then totally ignore the Word of God and walk contrary to what we may have plastered all over our shirt and our coffee cup that we're wearing. So it's not about just having the Word in front of you. As Pete was saying, it's about, I go back to that phrase all the time, being a doer of the Word. We are to live this Word out. We are to glean the principles and live it. To honor our Lord God who loves us so much, right? For our best interest, so that it may be well with us, to prolong our days.
I know I'm not a scholar, but I know the scholar.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to lock into. I'm not that smart, but I know one who is that smart, and so I'm going to hang out with him. If I want to know something, I need to hang out with somebody who knows what it is that I want to know. You understand? We've been having some problem with trying to get sound adjusted in the way we want it and some things, so we got somebody in here that knew more than we did.
A lot more.
You understand? That's what you have to do. You have to recognize what you don't know and then pull off of people who do know, and then you learn things. Otherwise, your pride can hold you back.
Right.
And we've got to get rid of that pride so we can advance with the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Verse 10, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage.
I see a tremendous principle here.
Yeah.
Moses is telling them that when the Lord brought them out of Egypt and into the land that he swore he'd give to the ancestors, he said this land was filled with good. Large cities, you didn't build them. Houses full of every good thing, you didn't fill them. wells, you didn't dig them. Vineyards, olive trees, you didn't plant them. Now I want you to think about this. God delivers us from sin. We accept Jesus as our personal Savior. Now, what are we doing? He's our promised land.
Yeah.
We're going into a place that everything we need's already been prepared for us. Like the houses, the land with all the good, everything. This is a foreshadow that we're seeing here. Every good thing Jesus has already provided. All we have to do is get into the land. Become one with Jesus and enjoy what Jesus has provided for us. You see that?
Yeah.
So I think it's important that we recognize what he's saying here. Realize you didn't do this. It was done for you. You have to realize your goodness is not what saved you. It's what God's done for you. You didn't get yourself out of sin. Jesus delivered you from sin. You see, to me, it's just talking about Jesus when I look at the principle.
Yeah.
All right, our time's up, so we'll have to stop and take a break here. We'll come back to this after the break.